I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to a song from World Stage Theater from their Vamport the Musical. Find out more at worldstagetheater.org. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me via Zoom is Shalonda Sims, founder and artistic director of World Stage Theater. Shalonda, first off, I want to ask you, how's your family? How are things for you right now?
Thank you. We are surviving. We are having a lot of conversations surrounding current events and trying to take care of ourselves and one another.
That's about all you can do when you have a family, you know, and you're very close and you've got a strong community too. I have seen your productions at World Stage Theater, and you sometimes have like 40 people in them, and I'm always amazed how you can handle such a huge, you know, huge cast. And that's just the people on stage, okay? So, yeah. So you've always found a way of bringing art and community together, which I really admire.
Thank you.
I really do. How long has World Stage been around?
This is our 14th year.
I imagine that the art helps you and your family helps you during this time to find comfort. What else helps you during this time of crisis that we're living in right now?
Our spiritual relationship, as you mentioned, community, really being able to talk to other people who relate to what we're going through, and of course the arts, you know, to be able to sing or write or, you know, just create during this time has been life-saving for me personally.
What have you been, I want to talk about your piece soon, but what else have you been working on?
I have been working on music and, you know, and running World Stage Theater.
Well, let's talk about that. You had an amazing Black History Month festival, Northwest, last February. And you must have had like 50 events. I don't know. It was a lot because your calendar was full almost every day.
It was a lot of work. And the community just really came out in support of the events. And it really was, this year was just something for everyone. Right? Something for every age group, every background. It was a wonderful month of celebration. And our last event was the August Wilson Monologue Competition that ended on the 9th.
Of March,
which was right before they shut everything down.
I wonder, was there anything else that you were planning that you had to sort of pivot and replan? Or
for us, it was a time for us to plan for our summer program, which is pretty big as well. We serve about 125 students.
Are you still doing that?
No. No, that has been canceled.
Were you going to try to do it online at all?
Well, no. No, it's not the same. I mean, we could do the classes and exercise, you know, the games or whatever on Zoom, but we decided not to. We decided to just check in with the young people who are in our program. We check in with them maybe once a month and just see how they're doing, anything that on their mind, anything that they might want to do. So we've really adjusted differently. I mean, instead of trying to move forward with our regular programming, we decided not to.
Well, there's some things you just can't do, especially if you're community-based and that's all about people in the same room. So yeah, I can see that was probably a painful decision if you had 125 kids that you were going to be working with.
Very painful, very painful. And we were actually presenting a new program this summer. So that's on hold.
Well, in case you just joined us, I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio, via Zoom with Shalonda Sims, founder and artistic director of World Stage Theater. And we're going to talk more about World Stage Theater's film. We debuted a short excerpt of Youth Voices in Growing Up Black in Oregon last week. But I want to talk to you more about how you came to create the film. And it's also a film in conversation. And you debuted it with a conversation on the virtual Vanport Mosaic Festival. But tell us more about how this project came into being.
Growing Up Black in Oregon is something that we've been working on for a couple of years, but just waiting for the right time. Originally, it was supposed to be in these intimate gatherings, but since we can't gather in person, then that kind of changed. So Zoom is working, though. I mean, for this, because we were having conversations, so it's not a performance. But our first conversation, we wanted to start with the young people because that's kind of like the heart and soul of World Stage Theater, is the young people. So we wanted to start the conversation with the young people and see, you know, where they are right now. Because it seems like, you know, their voices we don't hear enough, or that, you know, we're kind of trying to lead the conversation and what we want to hear. So we decided to have this conversation with them, to just, we didn't try to steer it in any direction. There were questions that they were given ahead of time, and they got to decide how they like to answer.
So they filmed themselves, and then you cut them, you know, edited them all together. So I thought that was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
And I also thought, you know, just listening to the stories, that so many, even though I think most of them went to different schools, you know, that were mostly white. One was in Vancouver, and several, and most of the others were in Oregon. All of them were in Oregon. It seemed like there were really familiar things, themes that they experienced of being otherized in their schools.
And that was one of the things, because after they made their own videos, we did another Zoom meeting with all of the participants. And that was one of the things that we talked about, how no one got together ahead of time and said, well, what is your answer going to be, or anything like that. And how very similar the stories and the experiences that they had growing up.
Yeah, they were different ages, and, you know, the location changed, but the story's the same.
Story stayed the same. And one of the things that we talked about was the fact that you think it's different or that it's worse when you are in East County, you know, the Fairview, Troutdale, those areas, or Vancouver. But a lot of this was going on in the inner city high schools. So, you know, so it's all over. It's not an isolated for, you know, those of us who have been pushed out to East County.
And it doesn't matter, because if it's a mostly white school, the kids are going to feel a lot of different things, you know, like being accused of things or being, you know, asked weird questions. What else was there that came out of those conversations?
Just the feeling of isolation, being isolated and not feeling that you're a part of this school, you know, that you're not a part of the school, you're not a part of your neighborhood when you're pushed out. Because, well, for me growing up, right, there was a known black neighborhood when I was growing up here in Oregon.
Well, North Portland. Yeah.
Yeah. And
which doesn't exist anymore.
So we don't have that. So you're constantly trying to create these communities where you can, you know, feel safe, where there's some type of connection. And it's like going into, you know, a foreign land sometimes, where you just don't speak the language, or you're looked at as, you know, a stranger.
That's a good way of putting it, like you're a tourist in your own town.
Yes.
Yeah. That's hard for a kid, especially.
It really is. And I was very pleased that they were willing to be vulnerable, because they did not hold back in sharing exactly what their experiences were. And having to navigate going to school and being in an area that may not have been welcoming and challenging your identity and who you are and who you want to be, but maybe you don't feel comfortable becoming that person because of the way you might be treated, so, or because of the way Blackness is viewed. So just the overall conversation that we were able to have. And I think that the most important thing, though, was being able to have the conversation together and being able to heal, because you realize that you weren't on this island by yourself, that your friends are having this experience, and it felt good to be able to talk about it, to be able to get it out, to be okay with being angry and to be in a place where you felt safe enough to say that.
Will you be having more of these conversations? Are you going to do a different type of film, you know, like with different theme? What's the future of this project?
We will have more conversations. The ideal is to have continued conversation with different groups. So we'll be having conversations with elders, with the faith-based community, with the LGBTQ community, all surrounded about being Black in Oregon or growing up in Oregon, and more so coming up with solutions.
And in a way also to not feel isolated and to also share.
Yeah. To share our experiences, and all while building community and building that connection.
I found it interesting that you started the film Growing Up Black in Oregon, a conversation with a song, Motherless Child, and also this poem by Langston Hughes that's read by Renee Watson. Can you tell us why you started off the film with that?
Motherless Child, right, is speaking of this disconnect or idea of being in a foreign land, right? Of feeling like you're without that nurturing, that comfort. And Let America Be America Again is this wonderful poem that Langston Hughes wrote, which is also kind of speaking of the same thing with, okay, America, we are not where we want to be or should be, but there's still hope that maybe we can get there. And yes, sometimes we feel, you know, sometimes as people of color, because it's not just Black people that Langston Hughes mentions in that poem. He's talking about Native Americans and, you know, poor people. It's the whole spectrum of people that he's talking about. And he's not ashamed or afraid to say that these people have been done wrong, and we haven't had the comforts of being American, or what we think being American is. Although we haven't had those things, there's still hope.
I feel like a motherless child. There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free. Say, who are you that mumbles in the dark? And who are you that draws your veil across the stars? I am the poor white, fooled and pushed apart. I am the Negro bearing slavery scars. I am the red man driven from the land. I am the immigrant clutching the hope I seek and finding only the same old stupid plan of dog eat dog, of mighty crush the weak. I am the young man full of strength and hope, tangled in that ancient endless chain of profit, power, gain, of grab the land, of grab the gold, of grab the ways of satisfying need, of work the men, of take the pay, of owning everything for one's own greed. I am the farmer, bondsman to the soil. I am the worker, soul to the machine. I am the Negro, servant to you all. I am the people, humble, hungry, mean, hungry yet today despite the dream, beaten yet today. Oh, pioneers, I am the man who never got ahead, the poorest worker bartered through the years. Yet, I'm the one who dreamt our basic dream in the old world while still a serf of kings, who dreamt a dream so strong, so brave, so true that even yet, its mighty daring sings. And every brick and stone and every furrow turned that's made America the land it has become. Oh, I'm the man who sailed those early seas in search of what I meant to be my home. For I'm the one who left dark Ireland's shore and Poland's plain and England's grassy lee, and torn from Black Africa's strand, I came to build a homeland of the free. The free? Who said the free? Not me. Surely not me. The millions on relief today, the millions shot down when we strike, the millions who have nothing for our pay, for all the dreams we've dreamed, for all the songs we've sung, all the hopes we've held, and all the flags we've hung, the millions who have nothing for our pay, except the dream that's almost dead today. Oh, let America be America again, the land that never has been yet, and yet must be, the land where every man is free. The land that's mine, the poor man's, Indians, Negroes, me, who made America, whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain, whose hand at the foundry, whose plow in the rain must bring back our mighty dream again. Sure, call me any ugly name you choose. The steel of freedom does not stain. From those who live like leeches on the people's lives, we must take back our land again. America, oh yes, I say it plain. America never was America to me, and yet I swear this oath, America will be. Out of the wreck and ruin of our gangster death, the rape and rot of graft and stealth and lies, we the people must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains, and the endless plain, all the stretch of these great green states, and make America again.
And that was an excerpt of World Stage Theater's film Growing Up Black in Oregon. Let America Be America by Langston Hughes, read by Renee Watson, and it's from the film Growing Up Black in Oregon. And you can find that on Vanport Mosaics and World Stage Theater's Facebook page live, but also at worldstagetheater.org, where it's also on YouTube, too. So lots of places you can see that. And I have links to all of those locations, as well as today's podcast of this interview with artistic director Shalonda Sims, at stageandstudio.org or kboo.fm/stageandstudio. I'm Demay Roberts, Stage and Studio with Shalonda Sims. And Shalonda, I also want to sort of do a little turn here and talk about this beautiful and powerful essay that you wrote. It's called You Don't Get to Tell Me How I Feel. It was so powerful when I read that, and I was moved to tears. You start off talking about George Floyd and Christian Cooper and the white woman who called the cops on Mr. Cooper. But then you talk more personally about your son's experiences. And I don't want to say who, because I kind of know who that might be. But can you tell me, a summary of his experiences? Because it was ridiculous what he experienced. And this was all in Troutdale, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us a little, if you can, about that.
He did not have the best experience, but he made the best out of a really bad situation. As I mentioned in the piece, he was accused of doing something each year of middle school. And the accusations came from a white student every time. And it was as if he was guilty until proven innocent. As soon as they said it, their word was taken as truth, as fact. And my husband and I we were up at the school. And what I didn't mention in that piece was that was our first interaction with the principals when we got that call sixth grade, was to tell us that our son was in detention for taking a kid's hat. And it wasn't until we had that meeting where we learned from the principal that 75% of the Black students, who only made up 2% of the student body population, were given referrals on a regular basis.
That's got to tell you something.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It was horrible. It was like a nightmare. I just remember my heart beating so fast and just wanting to bust out in tears because, you know, my son was just a smart kid, you know, full of life and ambition. And I think every parent just wants the best for their child. They want them to be able to go to school and have a good time and learn. And in elementary school, I mean, he just had all of these awards, all of these great experiences, teachers, you know, speaking well about him. And to get to this middle school, which was in our new neighborhood out east, it was heartbreaking.
Do you feel okay to read? Because you don't have to.
I'm fine with it.
I was wondering, is there a particular passage that you like? I was just thinking of one paragraph where you described going to the guidance counselor.
That's fine. Maybe the final blow was when his guidance counselor tried convincing him that he wasn't college material and encouraged him to try trade school, even though he had a 3.75 GPA. Or when the new football coach gave in to the white parents' disapproval and replaced him with a white quarterback.
What was the hardest piece part of it for you to write?
I think the hardest part for me to write was about my son, because it's something that we don't share often. You know, sometimes you feel like you're just complaining or whining about what's not right. But these experiences, because it didn't just happen to my oldest son, it happened to my middle son, it happened to my youngest child, it's happened to all three of them in different ways. And of course, I'm writing another piece about it. But yeah, it didn't stop. And they weren't the only ones. It was other Black students. And the more that we got involved with the district, you could see the blatant racism. And then sometimes the double standard of discipline. There was I have so many stories, but yeah. So I think the hardest piece for me to write was about my son, because it's something that I've kept tucked away for so long.
I think for your next film, I think you should talk to the mothers, you know, because this is happening to all the kids, right? All the Black kids, all the kids of color, you know, in general, I'm sure, you know, and it's almost like this gaslighting now. Oh, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist, but it's systemic. Before we go, you talk about this piece, and I want people to know where to find it. And I have a link at, you know, on stageandstudio.org at kbu.fm/stageandstudio, but it's also at full-time-woman.com. So it's fulltimewoman.com. And this is like, I'm saving this for the last, but what if you could pick like one thing that Portland's Theater, Portland's funders, could do to support Black theater artists and Black theater companies, what would it be? Yes, funding, but beyond that.
I would say supporting them, right? Buying tickets for their, you know, their jobs. Spreading the word about these organizations, I think, is important because a lot of the Black organizations, we don't have big budgets, so we can't do the large marketing to get everyone to know about the wonderful work that we're doing. And then too, I think that people can check their biases.
And that's also when you're working as an actress, singer in somebody else's company too.
Yes.
There are a lot of changes that need to happen with that too. Because you can come in, like say, just from your piece, that you're experiencing this kind of racism on a daily basis with your family, and then come into the rehearsal room and then be expected like, oh, nothing's wrong, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of the expectation when you walk into predominantly white institution theater.
Yes, and I want to go back because this ties in. You know, we have our Black History play, and we have, our cast is all African American. We deal with some really heavy issues, but this year was so different. The students, just because of the racial climate, and we were able to have this conversation during our table read, and all I kept hearing from the cast was, it feels so good not to have to come in here and pretend or worry about someone taking what I'm saying the wrong way or trying to tell me that what I'm feeling is not valid or trying, you know, to also tell me that they have the same experience or I'm being insensitive. It was so much. And so I think what people can do is check their privilege when they are inviting people of color to come into the room.
Thank you for saying that, because I've experienced that too. I know what that feels like, that relief,
yeah,
to be in the same room, you know?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Shalonda Sims, founder and artistic director of World Stage Theater. And please, everybody, check out their website, worldstagetheater.org. I appreciate you taking the time during the hardest of times right now. So,
thank you, Dime. Always a pleasure.
Anything to support you, anytime. That's it for Stage and Studio. You can hear this show again on stageandstudio.org or kboo.fm/stageandstudio. And like us on facebook.com/stage_and_studio. Till next time, I'm Dime Roberts. We're going to go out with a moving performance from Kedron Bryant. He's a youth who posted a video of this song on YouTube.
I'm a young Black man doing all that I can to stand. Oh, but when I look around and I see what's being done to my kind every day, I'm being hunted as prey. My people don't want no trouble. We've had enough struggle. I just wanna live. God protect me. I just wanna live. I just wanna live.